We're going to keep it simple. Cowards leave, men lead. Welcome to the Dude Catholic Podcast. I'm your host, Adrian, here with my co-host, a man who sharks dedicate a week to.
Nice, I like that.
Yeah, you do.
I'm Ramon.
Of course you are. Today, we are recording live.
From Inglewood.
Always up to some good.
Yeah.
Today, we start a new series called Venture. Today's episode is titled...
Have Less.
Indeed. It's episode 1 of 3. Hopefully, we can get a really good quality wrap-up between now and then. It's in the works. It's kind of exciting. But anyway, I digress. The scripture today comes from...
The book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 9. The human heart plans the way, but the Lord directs the steps.
That was...
delicious.
Indeed it was.
Mm-hmm.
And here's where we begin. Since we are recording live, as usual, you're going to hear a little bit of background noise, which is good. We're out of school. You're going to hear some children playing. After school program, perhaps. I don't know. Whatever the case is, here we are, still knocking them down. So, today, we're going to... come out with a plan on how to root out mediocrity. It's going to tie into stuff that we've discussed before, at which point we're going to redirect you to which series we were talking about that in, which was last series, so you don't need to look that far.
Well, this series is called Venture, and it was pretty cool because I remember the text message that you sent me. It's like, this one's called Venture, and I was like, I have an idea of what Venture is, but... I still had to look it up, and then I like the definition because and actually let me pull it up here.
Yeah, the English is hard.
The English is definitely hard sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's a risky or daring journey or undertaking.
Mm.
And I think I brought it up last time too, last episode even, that you know, rooting the mediocrity out of myself, you know, and it just went so perfect how this is the new series, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't know how to put this in the right context, but I feel like for me at least, the very risky journey into manhood was rooting that mediocrity out of myself.
Hmm.
I think that was a really bold move, and you know, I was such a coward. I mean, there's still a little bit in there, you know. I'm a very flawed man, but. When I go to confession, and this is almost every time, where I always sit in front of the priest because I'm a fool and I'm scared of it, so I do it anyway. And I always tell him, I'm spiritually lazy. And then he asked me to elaborate on that. And I'm not going to go too deep into it, but I give him a few examples of how I don't always show up.
The English is hot.
Yeah. Hey, I'm stuttering Stanley here, subbing for Ramon, and how I don't always show up, and it that's how we begin, you know, when you finally get tired of your mediocrity, when you know you're holding yourself back from having a better relationship with our God, it's like, what are you going to do now? And then it's up to you to take the first step into that venture, into that risky journey. Because I've lost several people, that they didn't die, but it's just different life choices. And I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about me. Now, once I decided to distance myself from certain things, the path just became more clear to where I needed to go, where I was headed, where I needed to head towards.
Yeah. And here's where I'm going to jump in, if that's all right. Because you can either wander. Man, the English, I'm telling you. We can wander into it, but that takes a long time. Well, one of the things I like to do now that I got less time for mediocrity is be intentional about what we're doing. You know, and so if you want to really be intentional about weeding out all that mediocrity in your life, do a few things. Number one, write down the ways in which you fail to love God. So if I really want to do this, I need to write down the ways in which I fail God. Not just in, you know, what commandments I break, but how do I really mess up when it comes to loving God? Because at the end of the day, it's not just a bunch of commandments that I'm breaking. It's not a bunch of rules. It's the Father's heart. And when I'm looking at it like that, then it's a relationship that I need to fix. And I need to be serious and intentional about it and say, okay, so how is it that I fail? So write it down. That's the first thing, you know, write down how I fail God. Next thing is write down the ways in which I fail to love those that I'm supposed to love in the order of love. What that means is that, you know, in your life, whatever your state is right now, whether you're single or married or, you know, still living at home, out of the house, whatever, you have certain people, certain relationships that are the most important relationships in your life. And if we don't have those kind of, you know, sorted out, as in this person comes first, then we got some writing down to do. And yes, you do need to write this down. You do need to put pen to paper. You can destroy it afterwards, you know, after you've been working on it. Some people choose to journal. Some people think journaling is girly. I don't care. Whatever. Just write stuff down. Thinking about it, it's not going to work because we forget. And if we write it down, we're intentional about it, we have it, we make it physical. You know, when we make it physical, it's harder to deny. It's harder to forget, and it's harder to just leave it to chance or leave it to, I'm going to wander into greatness. No, it's not going to happen. You gotta mean it. The third thing that I really wanted to get into is that here's the part where I make reference to the last podcast series. Because we have three things that we talked about as far as the plan of attack, right? So it's not enough to know. You know, at least I admit it. I hate that.
Yeah, that's weak.
Yeah. It's like people saying, oh, you know, yeah, I'm a jerk, but at least I admit it. Like, that's bullcrap if you're not doing anything about it. So, first and foremost, be who God created you to be. We talked about this, so I'm not going to expand too much. Just listen to the last series. We have a whole episode on it. So God created you to be a man, to love like a man, love God, then love your neighbor. Who is the first neighbor that you are to love? If you're married, I shouldn't have to tell you that that's your wife. Before your children even, you put your wife first and you teach your children how to love so that they may see the model which they are to imitate. And then if you really put your wife first, that means that you're taking care of the kids that you made with her, right? And so if you don't have kids, then you move on to the next relationship. If you have kids, you love them individually for who they are, noticing all their little behaviors and just knowing how to work with their personalities, because here's where favoritism comes in. You know, like people will say, oh, you have a favorite kid, you don't have a favorite kid, whatever, you know. It's that you love each person independently, individually, for who they are. They're not this generic human being that you're just like, oh, okay, they're just copies of one another. I don't watch TV too much, but I saw a series, a couple of episodes called The Walking Dead. Some of you are like way ahead. If this is a spoiler for you, then you know you're probably not even a fan, so it doesn't matter. But towards the beginning, there was a girl whose sister turns into a zombie, and I think she has to kill her. I don't remember exactly how it goes, but one thing did stick. It stood out, and that was that she was talking about her dad. And she was saying that when she went fishing with her dad, she was able to fish and take it out, and then they killed it. They killed the fish and ate the fish. But when the little sister went fishing, the one that turned into a zombie and then had to be killed, they let the fish go. And that's when they realized, or she realized, that, you know what, like, dad loved us each individually. You know, the first one, the oldest one, knew how to handle, you know, the facts of life. Some life must be taken for other life to be sustained. And the other one was more sensitive. And so the dad played into that sensitivity and said, this is how I'm going to love my daughter. We're going to go fishing. We're going to share the experience, but we're going to let the fish go, because that's the kind of heart I'm holding in my hands. That's just beautiful.
Yeah. And as we talk about this, it goes to what I was what we were discussing at the very beginning too, where we think this venture, this daring journey, is going out there and slaying the dragon and what have you. But it all starts at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you, but at least for me, like I said, the biggest, most daring thing I could do was get over myself and start rooting out my weaknesses. And I still have a long way to go, but because I started on that path, I've told several stories, like, on the podcast, especially in the earlier episodes, where I was dealing with certain individuals that were just mentally ill, and just talking to them and listening to them and treating them like people, they were able to discover that they are more than the pain that they live with. That the pain that they're living with is there, but it doesn't have to be a deciding factor. It doesn't have to be the end of the line.
It doesn't define you.
Yeah. And, man, I had a little something, too, that I was going to tie into the scripture where, you know, going back to the scripture, the human heart plans the way, but the Lord directs the steps. The Lord will always direct the steps if we're willing to put in the work. A while back, I said, you know, yeah, you got to put your trust in God and pray and all that good stuff that we hear in church. But you also have to put legs on your prayers. And it's in scripture right here. The Lord will direct the steps. And it all begins with you, that big journey. It all begins with you, and it all begins at home.
And that's where your stand begins. That's where you begin to take a stand at home. Like, what am I going to allow in my home? Just recently we had a discussion about when we're going to let our kids have a phone. You know, that's, it may seem mundane to you, you know, but think about it. You know, I'm living in a world in which, I'm not going to give out any names or anything, but there's a 4-year-old out there with an iPhone. You know, there's children out there with phones who are like, who barely even know anything. You know, what's that going to do to their brain? Heck, my 10-year-old, I just took her tablet away because she refuses to listen to me when it comes to something. That something is using YouTube. I don't let them use YouTube because there's a lot of garbage out there. You may be looking innocently through YouTube and then you find some garbage in a random video that's meant for kids. And it's meant for kids to be corrupted, basically. And yeah, I'm sheltering them. Yeah, it's my mission to do that. It's my mission to show them authentic love and goodness so that they may be able to tell the counterfeit from the good one. And so I'm not done training her well enough, you know, to do the things that she needs to do when she encounters all that garbage that the world is going to show her. And so because of that, I had to take the tablet away. You know, and that's something that my wife and I disagree on a lot, you know, as far as, you know, when they should have a phone. But I'm not going to base my parenting on other people. I'm going to base my parenting on the reading that I've done. You know, it's psychologically unhealthy for children to have a phone. It's not good for them. It's not good for them to be on social media at a very young age. It's not good for them to obsess over videos. And the fact that she didn't listen to me when it came to which app she should use is a good enough reason to take the technology she has away right now and to hold off on giving her some more technology that gives her way more freedom to do things that are not good for her. So we need to take our stand at home. We need to learn when to fight our battles. I'm not going to fight my wife when it comes to decorating the house. I've said that before. She makes me look good. But when it comes to something like this, you know, where I'm thoroughly convinced of something, we're going to have a healthy discussion about what this could do. You know, and the great thing about having the partner that I have is that she does whatever's best for the kids. If I'm wrong, she's going to tell me I'm wrong, and she's going to correct me. But if I'm right, she's going to side with what's better for our kids. And that's so important, you know, for us to be able to take a stand together, even when we have disagreements. And I've been an idiot. I've been wrong in the past, and the right thing gets done. So that's the second thing, as you recall from the last series. And the last one is attack. You got to be relentless. You got to be relentless when it comes to the right things. You know, a lot of times we use a lot of negative things, a lot of negative feelings that we have, and we justify them because we're right. We justify them because we have a certain displaced sense of justice. We think, oh yeah, this is wrong, therefore I am justified in lashing out in anger and in not taking action, in buying this or not buying that. Like whatever your situation is, it's a cowardly thing. It's a wrong way of attack when we just attack to wield our strength, because we justify it. We always find a way to justify it, you know? We're always going to find a way to say, oh, you know, I'm right because of this, or this is right because of that. No. You need to be rooted in Christ, and the only way that we're going to get there, the only way in which we're going to be justified in attacking, is if it comes out of prayer, is if it comes out of a well-placed sense of justice, faith, and most importantly, love for those who we serve.
That's all part of answering God's call. Mm. Ultimately. And that's what we're trying to do. So pray for us.
And we'll pray for you.
Ferrum
ferro
aquitur.
Today's episode of the Dude Catholic Podcast is brought to you by Racheta Stone. When the English is hard, give up. Learn Spanish with Racheta Stone.